emergency call. This meeting to order for the Rental Services Commission Executive Committee, our first meeting. Our time together is from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. I assume everybody has the materials, the agenda, PowerPoint presentation from Andres, the member list, and the RFC ordinance. Is there anything else that I'm missing, Matt, that was provided in person today?
Nope.
Okay, cool. Great. Well, we have a quorum, myself and Ian, and it sounds like Christian is running about 15, 20 minutes late, so when he gets here, we'll give him a chance to introduce himself. Matt, do you feel ready to move into the committee overview?
Yeah, can we do a round of introductions of staff and committee members now?
Yes, sure.
All right. Nathan, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'm Nathan Howard. I'm a senior policy advisor for Mayor Wheeler. I work on a variety of issues and topics, including aspects of housing and
anti-displacement policies. Can we have folks who are speaking in the room speak up a little bit?
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Cupid Alexander. I'm also with the Office of Mayor Ted Wheeler, Senior Policy Advisor, and my primary focus is housing and housing initiatives.
Andres Oswill, Landlord-Tenant Policy Coordinator at the Housing Bureau and staff for the committee.
Matthew Schaubold, Equity and Policy Manager for the Housing Bureau.
Hi, folks. Ian Davey. I'm with Home Forward, Chief Operating Officer, one of the commissioners on the commission.
And Katrina, did you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Apologize that I'm not able to be there in person today. I'm dealing with walking pneumonia. How fun. So I'm down. But my name is Katrina Holland, Executive Director of Community Alliance of Tenants.
Okay. So with that, we're going to move into the committee overview. And I will be referencing the document that is the ordinance to City Council. Specifically, I'm going to be looking at page 2, which is the start of Exhibit A, and the city code under which the Rental Services Commission was established to outline its duties and responsibilities. So I'm not going to read through this word for word, but to say that given the volume of issues and the increased priority that that issues in the area of landlord-tenant services and regulation has taken at the city and at City Council, the mayor's office established a new permanent advisory commission known as the Rental Services Commission. And you have a list of the committee membership itself. And the role of the committee is advisory. At this point, its charter and the code is advisory. And it is advisory to the Housing Bureau and the director of the Housing Bureau, to the Housing Commissioner, which is currently the mayor, as well as City Council as a body. And it is advisory on issues of rental housing market regulation, landlord-tenant services and programs, and landlord-tenant and rental housing market policy in the city of Portland. Katrina, I'm going to pause for a second. So we've just had Christian join us, and I want to get him the materials.
And okay.
Just give him a chance to introduce himself really quick.
Okay.
Christian Bryant. I'm president of the Portland Area Rental Association.
So you can see the outline of duties and responsibilities in Exhibit A, which is really looking at policy initiatives, regulation and programs, and then budget and community involvement in the context of landlord-tenant housing regulation, programs and services, and education. With regard to the budget, I do want to comment on the budget itself, and we'll get into more of this at the retreat, but just as a quick overview for the executive committee, the Housing Bureau has a permanent advisory commission that advises the Bureau overall. It's the Portland Housing Advisory Commission, and they act as our budget advisory commission. And for folks who are unfamiliar, every city bureau has a budget advisory commission, so there's a delicate balance there, the Rental Services Commission will act, I think, more similar to the Joint Office of Homeless Services, where You know, the funding, the city funding for the Joint Office of Homeless Services, if you're not familiar, passes through the Housing Bureau budget to the city-county joint office, and they have their own advisory body that advises them on budget. And the budget recommendation that body puts together, we will put it through our budget process. So in a similar fashion, while the Portland Housing Advisory Commission is the permanent budget advisory committee, when it comes to the budget for landlord-tenant regulations and services, we're going to defer heavily to the Rental Services Commission, and their guidance will go to the Portland Housing Advisory Commission. And if that's confusing, great, and we'll have a flow chart and lay it out at the retreat and work session coming up in the next 2 weeks. So that's just kind of a quick overview. The other thing I want to flag for the Executive Committee as we move into the retreat of the full membership is that, you know, I know in some of the lead into this, there's been some questions from some members on kind of the role of the commission versus other commissions, and some folks have wanted to weigh in on issues even outside of kind of landlord, tenant, and rental housing market issues. And I think that's acceptable, but we're going to have to manage that on a case-by-case basis. The city has a number of advisory commissions who have scopes that may overlap. So in the future and moving forward, we can have things like joint meetings, or we can forward recommendations to those advisory bodies, or maybe joint subcommittees. There's lots of options, but I just want folks to be aware that we're going to want to coordinate with the members of the public who are appointed to these other advisory bodies as well.
You pretty much answered my question. I was going to say, I would assume we could still, you know, if we needed to, bring in a representative from one of those committees to give us more enlightenment on something we want to know more about, or possibly, you know, formally send a recommendation to one of those other commissions if it is something that we wanted to discuss.
No, absolutely. I think the one that will probably could overlap a lot would be what's known as the DRAC, it's the Development Review Advisory Commission, which is the Bureau of Development Services advisory body. And they have a whole host of issues they take up, but part of it, you know, relates a lot to the building code and the building permitting process. And so that could be one where there's a significant amount of overlap between the two advisory bodies. So kind of with that, and one other thing in terms of committee overview, there are two standing committees in code. You'll see that on the back of this Exhibit A, the Executive Committee, and then the Bylaws and Rules Committee, and we'll talk more about the Bylaws and Rules Committee later. I just want to flag that does not prevent the Rental Services Commission as a body from establishing other kind of task forces or committees on an as-needed basis, or in the bylaws itself. It's just in the code, there are only two kind of permanent standing committees. And so that would be something that the detail in the bylaws are due on an ad hoc basis.
And just for clarification, Matt, on that, if for some reason we do want to assign subcommittees to investigate idea topics further, do we have to then add them to the code if we want it to be a long-standing subcommittee, or if it's going to be an ad hoc committee that then becomes long-standing, do we have to add it to code, or can it just exist without changing?
We want to put it in the bylaws, but we don't need to send it to the code.
Okay.
So if it's not just like a short-term task force that's like looking into a specific issue, we would want to have it in the bylaws so that the public is aware of any committees that are working on issues.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So with that, again, as a reminder, we're going to go into more depth at our meetings in the next 2 weeks, the retreat, and then the work session. Are there any questions that the Executive Committee members have about just kind of the commission itself, this committee itself, or the process in general, knowing that we're going to go into a little bit more detail of actual how we are managing the meetings, our work plan, things like that in the next agenda items?
No questions at this time.
All right.
Great. Do we feel comfortable moving on to the next item on the agenda, meeting management, agenda setting, and decision making. Andres, are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. I'm ready when you are.
We're moving now to start looking at the PowerPoint handout. It's also going to be projected, but feel free to take notes and jot down questions as we go. This is intended to provide the executive committee an overview of how the commission is going to be functioning, as well as an opportunity to weigh in on what the Bureau's current thinking is right now. We've reached out to the mayor's office as well. And the way most of the commission's work is structured, things are decided as a collaboration between the commission, the housing commissioner, and PHB staff. So this is part of that process of collaboratively reaching an understanding of how the Rental Services Commission is going to be functioning and what its tasks are. So to begin with meeting management on slide two, Matt and I are going to be co-facilitating the Rental Services Commission. We are going to be operating off of ground rules that we'll be discussing. A draft is going to be brought forward to the retreat work session, which is going to be an open session, as a starting point for the commission to begin discussing. The goal is to leave the retreat with a functioning set of ground rules so that when the commission begins meeting, it has those to operate on. But ultimately, the ground rules will be written into the bylaws as part of how the commission operates. Something that has been flagged already is concern around the role of tenant testimony in the commission. There's been conversation on how it's important for the commission to hear from the public. That's one of the reasons this body has been created. And as part of that, there's a recognition that some tenants fear retaliation or simply fear that their housing could be compromised by having a public role in this conversation. So there's been concern around making sure that the commission has the ability to hear from tenants while also not putting tenants at risk of having their housing be compromised. So that's something that we are very aware of and want to respond to. We think at this time the best approach is for that process to be something the commission works through and determines what the best approach is in terms of how it wants to be hearing testimony in a way that prioritizes equity concerns, that prioritizes the risk that tenants could put themselves as. I've outlined an approach of thinking through specifying, being really explicit about what the goals are, what problems we're trying to address, considering different solutions and the implications those might have, and then for the commission to decide on a protocol that we as staff will be supporting, but ultimately we think it's important, as the commission is made up of experts in this field, that you all be leading the conversation on how to be responsive to that. So is there any input or feedback on this slide, Dan?
Could I request that we address it as just in general how to approach public testimony?
Of course.
Because I do know, I have heard from some landlords that are reluctant to speak out publicly with their concerns because of possible different retaliation stories that they've already heard have happened. So I just think in general, before we make any rules that might specifically say it's just tenants that have these specific things, I think just public testimony in general.
Yep.
Okay. I have a question on timeline. Is this something that's going to be decided on definitively at the retreat, or are you asking the entire group to solve it at our first meeting?
So it can't happen at the retreat because it's a discussion about decision making, or it's a process for decision making and input. Uh-huh. So it has to happen at one of the meetings that are public. A closed retreat can only be informational, kind of onboarding. So it's slated for discussion at the second part of the retreat, which is the public work session.
Okay.
And if we're not able to get through that, we'll have to carry it over into another meeting. So it's hard to speak before the commission all weighs in to assess, whether we're going to get to the product of the first meeting.
Okay, my next question is, given sort of the discussions that have happened prior to this meeting, is that something that council or the housing commissioner has to approve before it's put into effect?
I think right now our goal is to have the commission outline what its preferred approach would be, how it would like to approach trying to take public testimony in a way that doesn't put people testifying at risk. And then from there, once we have a more solid idea of what the thoughts are of the executive committee, as well as the commission at large, that we can then move forward and seeing what the next steps are.
Oh. In the meantime, if tenants do want to testify, or we just request, I guess my question is, can we get this figured out before we start talking about any specific policy items where tenants and landlords alike, referring to Kristen suggestions, they'll be able to testify about it and give their opinion in a way that's protected? Or is this something that's going to be ongoing? It's okay for that to happen.
I'm flagging this right now because I think it has to be one of the first things that's decided. An integral part of this commission is its ability to hear public testimony. So it's a priority to have an established form of hearing public testimony that isn't considered to be problematic.
Okay. Thank you.
So moving on to the next slide about agenda setting. As I referenced before, the work of the commission is seen as a collaboration between a number of parties, and that's reflected in the agenda process as well. We're generating the agenda with input from the Housing Commissioner, the Housing Bureau, and the Rental Services Commission more broadly. I think it's important to understand that in this process, everyone has ideas of how this is working forward, and our goal is to find something that addresses the priorities for everyone involved in the conversation and ensuring that the commission's work is pointed in a direction that's the most helpful. You'll also see that City Council has a role in providing items for the agenda. An overview for anyone who's not familiar in the structure that Portland has for its government. The commissioners are assigned out to bureaus, and the mayor is serving as the housing commissioner. And so as part of that, the bureau responds to the housing commissioner as well as this commission. So other city council members are invited to offer agenda items to the commission, but we can't force them, we can't request them to provide to go through the commission first, so we're leaving that off for open as an invitation, but as a bureau, we don't have the ability to leverage how other city council members approach their legislative priorities. As for how the Rental Services Commission itself will create agenda items, it's something that will be reflected in the bylaws, so it's something the commission has to establish for itself. Some suggested components I included there are just some thoughts on how the commission might go about thinking through how it wants to take items that are generated by members of the commission. As we are proposing right now, there are going to be two formats for agenda items. Something can be brought to the commission as an information item, so this would be a very short agenda item, and it would be something that could potentially be brought up by a city council commissioner that they wanted the commission to weigh in on quickly. It would simply be a briefing and then an opportunity to go around the table and have every member of the commission give quick feedback as opposed to an extended dialogue. We are structuring a work plan that is based in discussion items. So what that will look like is a more in-depth involvement with the commission. Right now, the structure would be to have multiple meetings. So the commission has the opportunity to continually interact with a policy and play a collaborative role in crafting a recommendation that will hand off to the mayor, to the Housing Bureau, and to City Council at large. So do we have questions or any feedback on that?
I'll say this. Thanks, Andres, for that. We are in our office encouraging all the other offices, if they have anything concerning landlord-tenant issues, to definitely bring it to this group, and they're more than welcome to funnel that through our office, as the mayor is the housing commissioner. So that's something that we have encouraged, because this group hopefully will be able to do that deep dive in regards to some of the specific specific policy implications and implications for the community. So we're really looking forward to the response from this group, and we have a great list of things that we're going to be able to move forward to you to see what the response is going to be. So.
Can we get to ask questions?
This meeting doesn't have public testimony. We're saving that for the full rental services commission.
I'll just ask that question.
Afterward, yeah.
So, Andres, I had a question about the influence of the commission's thoughts, right, around information items versus the importance of commission letters for the discussion items.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a different way that council would assess those, or is it sort of issue evidence specific?
I think it ties in well with what Cupid just said of the discussion items, and ultimately the commission generating letters is seen as a more deep dive. So we'll go into the process on the next slide, but it's the commission truly getting involved in a topic and becoming very familiar with it, having multiple interactions of working through the topic, and ultimately everyone coming out with whatever their opinions are. Whereas an information item is more recognition that this body is being tasked with being the city body to deal with rental services. And so there are issues that might benefit from coming before the commission, but for whatever reason aren't being slated as a discussion item. So it's an opportunity for someone to come to the commission and get very surface level feedback as opposed to like a more thorough process. So I anticipate that it will not carry the same weight, but again, our purview is what we do here, and once things leave the commission and or passed into other hands, that's kind of where our role ends.
And it's advisory in nature. Anyway,
it is advisory in nature.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So moving on to the next slide of decision making, you'll see there, it is a reminder that this is an advisory body. It's a commission that is not making decisions in a legislative or quasi-judicial way. There's also a decision that was made early on in the process that it is not a group that will make decisions or recommendations through consensus. We anticipate that the policies that come up are policies that not every member of the commission will have the same opinion on, and as part of that, we are intentionally structuring the group to allow for it to function and not expect it to continue deliberating a matter until reaching consensus. I laid out a little bit more structure on what the discussion process will be like for generating a commission letter. So right now what we're proposing is to have the format of a 3-meeting structure for the topics. A topic will be first brought up for an introduction, staff will provide an overview, and the commission will have the opportunity to weigh in with their initial perspectives, anything that they would expect or hope staff would follow up on. And ask basically any questions they have and what they'd like to see come next. From there, staff will take the issue, do work. If outside meetings are necessary, that's when that will occur. If a standing group is, or a standing committee is asked to form to discuss the issue further, that's when that would occur. And then once some process had been taken, it would come back to the commission for a work session. Right now, that's our recommendation for when we'll be hearing public testimony. It would be an update of the work that has been done, as well as an opportunity for the public to weigh in on their perspective on the issue. From there, more work would happen between that and the final meeting. At the final meeting, that's when we would expect the commission to reach its opinions, establish how people are feeling in the room, would go around, and get a sense of how we're going to do the final letters for the commission. Accordingly, the products would reflect that. For an information item, as Ian was asking before, we anticipate this would just be a list of questions or quick statements from what the commission thought, whereas for discussion items, we anticipate full letters summarizing the different positions held by people on the commission. So then I'd like to open it up for questions, comments.
Is this final?
We are getting your input on it, and it is not final.
So this is up for discussion.
Yes.
at the retreat and in subsequent meetings?
We will be discussing the decision-making process at the work session as part of the retreat, but we're also asking, as the executive committee, for you all to weigh in with your thoughts as well.
So something that may or may not have worked, we'll see what happens as time goes on with the relocation. Technical advisory group is having a majority and minority report. I want to make that suggestion that it's developed by the Portland Housing Bureau based off of the discussions and the work session, ideally produced before, or this is why I made the suggestion that we go from 3 to 4, because it sounds like, I would imagine that we would want to see a copy of the report before we make a final decision of what's going to be submitted to council. Ian or Christian, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, so they did not see your suggestion, so.
But my suggestion was, instead of going for 3 meetings for a discussion, or for discussion item or information item for us to make a final decision, that instead of 3 meetings, we would go to 4 with a topic introduction, 2 work sessions, and then a final meeting. My thought was, based off of the experience that we've had in the relocation technical advisory group, where we think a topic item is going to take 1 or 2 meetings and ends up taking 3, and then we have to review whatever recommendations the Housing Bureau has put together and is going to give to council, that takes a lot of time. I don't know if it's realistic with 3 meetings. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, if you have some.
Well,
I mean, I wouldn't have anything against it, but I do believe things like that can also be adjusted just as we see fit as well. So, like, if we do have, you know, instead of saying that every item is required to have 4 meetings, maybe we have it as recommended by housing with the 3, but we recognize that there are definitely going to be topics that are going to be much more divisive, or we're just going to need more time to be able to get more information, to be able to make an educated decision, to where I completely agree, we're going to need more meetings. But I believe, as it stands, we can have as many work sessions as we want on any topic.
Yes.
Currently, right?
Correct.
So I don't know how you feel about that, Katrina. If you want to make it to where everything has to have 4, or if you're okay with 3, and we just know that we can expand that on any topic we think it needs more. But that was my feeling on it.
I'm not opposed to that, Andres. That does go back to your responses that you gave earlier this week around adjusting the work plan from a 15-month to a 21-month. Right. In this instance of Christian's suggestion, how would that work?
So I think that something important to keep in mind is that we're discussing process of how the commission will work, and ultimately the commission's going to decide that through its bylaws that it will be generating on deciding how it functions. So it will be as rigid or flexible as the commission wants. And I think the work plan should be understood in terms of being a more flexible document, where I don't think it... The commission's being created to deliberate policy and decisions the city makes that affects all of rental housing. And so I think if the commission feels like it needs more time on an issue, it is appropriate to continue extending it within reason. So I think there should be built-in flexibility, understanding that as there are priorities to discuss, extending the timeline means extending the amount of time it takes to get to some topics. But I think that if this is something that the commission wants to consider, the ability to have 3 or 4 meetings for different topics, I think that's fine.
The only thing I would add on that, Katrina, is, you know, I think for the Relocation Assistance Technical Advisory Group, you know, we have been meeting, we've taken a month or two off here and there, but for the last 10 months, we've been meeting two to sometimes three times a month for 3 to 4 hours a meeting. And so, you know, Andres is completely correct. And I would say we could modify the work plan to, you know, have more than one issue on the agenda to be worked, but, you know, as it stands, we have a standing meeting once a month for 2 hours. That's not to say the commission as a body can't choose to meet more frequently or for a longer period of time. It could also affect the work plan. If the body does not end up wanting to meet more often than once a month, I'm not saying that from having any information from any of the members. It's just, I think our experience with the technical advisory group is a little different given just the frequency that we were meeting and the length of time. So could it potentially extend the work plan? Yes. Is there a way to not do it by meeting more frequently? Yes, but that would have to be a decision of the whole body of the commission.
Okay.
And Katrina, something else that we will have the ability to do, especially on topics that definitely are going to need more just time in general, whether that be to discuss or to research or whatever it may be, we also have the ability to assign a subcommittee of sorts or task force that might be, a smaller section of the overall RSC to kind of deep dive into that. So we will have the way that I understand it, we'll have options to make sure that one way or another we're able to give each topic, as much attention as it needs.
So then I'm wondering, does it make sense for us to try to come to some sort of temperature check by the end of each work section on a process or on a policy suggestion so that we're able to have a majority-minority report available for the final meeting?
Yeah, I think that in terms of structure, we would definitely do things like polling the room to see where everyone's at, to gauge the grouping of different perspectives as a way of preparing for the letters from the commission.
Okay. I don't want to get hung up on this because I know we have 3 minutes left and a whole bunch of slides to go, so I'm going to... Go ahead, Andre.
So then that wraps up that agenda item. So the next thing I have on the slide deck is a review of the retreat schedule. So this is a reminder, the Rental Services Commission is having a two-part retreat. The first part is going to be a 4-hour closed session. It's going to be focused on information and orientation to provide an onboarding for the commission. You can see the draft agenda we're working with right now. It would start with an introduction. The mayor, I think right now Cupid is scheduled to give feedback from the mayor's office and speak to the commission briefly. Kurt, the Housing Bureau director, will then address the commission. We'll have an activity for commission members to interact and get to know each other better. There's been a request from multiple commission members through the interviews that we've done leading up to this commission to have some sort of ability to get to know each other and develop professional working relationships. From there, the city attorney's office will be providing a presentation on public meetings law for the commission. We'll have a break and probably transition rooms at that point. We're scheduled to be in this room, the Bridge Steel Room, for the closed retreat. And then transition to another room where we're going to have Alan Lazo from the Fair Housing Council of Oregon provide a presentation on equity in housing. After that, Matt is going to provide an overview of some of the Bureau's work that has been done around equity, including the State of Housing Report. Then we'll have a presentation of the Bureau's budget and a more general presentation of what the Housing Bureau does, as well as what other bureaus and commissions do. It's going to be an expanded version of what Matt was providing at the beginning, kind of understanding who else is involved in this conversation, so every commission member can situate the role of the commission within the broader context of Portland city government. So that is the closed onboarding portion of the retreat as it stands right now. Any comments or questions?
Andres, do you mind adding to that something about conflict of interest?
Sure.
That's been a request from one of the commissioner's offices to make sure that the individuals that are going to be involved have some understanding of conflict of interest.
Are you thinking as part of the city attorney's?
Yeah, that would be fine. Or
Judy usually covers that.
Okay.
But we can double check to make sure.
Yeah.
She has the slides from the general public meetings law to public bodies generally and conflict of interest.
Okay. Thank you.
If Chris, yeah. Okay. Then moving on to the second part of the retreat, it's going to be a work session, and because it will discuss matters of how the commission makes decisions and the work it will be doing, it will be held in open session. So that's going to be on December 6th, also here at the Housing Bureau. Again, introduction, we're going to do a housing values exercise as a way to ground the commission members in finding shared values, but also understanding where each person is approaching this work from. That's then going to inform the ground rules. So like I mentioned before, staff is going to bring draft ground rules to the commission, and the commission will have a chance to discuss that and give an input. From there, we'll go into an overview of the decision-making process, which Katrina can be an opportunity to discuss thoughts on how we want to handle public testimony, and then provide an overview and discussion of the work plan. Any comments or questions?
Just one addition. Just be prepared, executive committee members, you all will have an active role in this, and Andreas will be in touch about what that role is, just facilitating small groups, things like that.
So Andreas, I just had a question of whether there's an opportunity in this meeting, since it is a work session, to discuss what Katrina and Christian were going over related to how topics come to and leave commission.
Yeah, Chris.
And that could fall in the decision-making process. I see it's only a half hour, though, so wouldn't want to gun that up.
Okay. With that, I'll move to the Bylaws and Rules Committee recommendations. So at this point, I want to flag, at this point we have not contacted these five individuals to ask them if they're interested in being on the Bylaws and Rules
Committee. So this public meeting
committee.
Is officially being notified?
This is them being notified that they're being recommended by staff. So we have put together a five-member slate of recommendations for the Bylaw and Rules Committee. The code says that the mayor's office, in consultation with the chairs and the executive committee, will make appointments to the other committees. And so you don't need to make a decision on this today, but this is the staff recommendation as the membership of the committee. We do recommend that it's an odd number of people, and I would not recommend going larger than five. Well, so you definitely can't go larger than six, because if all members show up, if you appoint seven members, you actually have a quorum of the full commission. So it's six or less, and we would recommend an odd number. And so we put together a slate of five names.
And as a reminder, this is the other standing committee of the commission, in addition to the executive committee.
Okay.
So at some point, either, like I said, you can have some time to think about it, but at some point, if the executive committee wants to make a formal recommendation to the Bureau and the mayor's office as to whether they support these members or they want a different slate of folks, you can also not take a position at all, and the Bureau and the mayor's office can just work with these individuals and see if they're interested. Either way works.
when is the hope to make a final decision? Prior to the retreat or when?
No. I mean, I think we're going to want the Bylaws and Rules Committee to probably get going, realistically, given the holidays in January. Because after the work session, after the retreat, and after the work session, after the first full commission meeting in December, it's the holidays, and so a lot of folks aren't going to be available. So realistically in January, and we'll probably want them to meet more frequently in the beginning to get a basic structure down to bring back to the full commission early in January, February of next year.
If the Bylaws and Rules Committee recommendations aren't accepted by the full committee, can we then put forth, or by the full commission, can we put forth some different recommendations at that time prior to January?
In terms of the names or the rules themselves?
The name.
So the full commission does not have to accept, in the code it says the mayor's office, the housing bureau, and the chairs, technically, but we want to be inclusive of the executive committee, will appoint members to the two standing committees. So the mayor's office chose to select the three of you, work with staff as the executive committee, and then for the bylaws and rules committee, we wanted to put it on the table at this meeting. So this can happen at a December executive committee, but again, also, if the executive committee doesn't really want to take a position, they can defer to the mayor's office for these appointments. And I should also flag, some of these folks might say no. So
yeah.
I just have a quick question. I know that Exhibit A to the ordinance lays out some guidelines around membership of the commission overall, socioeconomic, gender, racial, ethnic, cultural, geographic diversity. And then sub E is that the overall commission shall achieve a balanced citizen-based perspective encompassing knowledge of fair housing, rent-regulated market, rental housing, and some other important items. There is no guidance around the composition of committees necessarily, and so to the extent that the chairs may not know these folks and their background, does the commissioner or staff believe that these strike the balances laid out?
I mean, that's what we were trying to achieve, is a similar balance reflective of the overall commission for the Bylaws and Rules Committee.
And, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I personally know three of the five people here, and of the two that I don't personally know, Yanni and Raul, I mean, I think I have enough information on what, you know, their profession, their background, that type of stuff, to where I don't know how my other executive committee members feel, but I would be fine even right now, saying that, you know, we would agree with staff's recommendations. I mean, it seems pretty balanced to me, but that's where I'm at. Does that need, what's your feeling on it at this point? Because I know, I mean, it makes staff's job easier if we can make these decisions quickly so that way they can move forward and get things set up, but we can officially get to working.
Right. No, I understand. So I'd rather look back at the handbook just to get a sense of all five of them. But I take the recommendation of staff at their word. And ultimately, it's up to the chairs and the commissioners.
So how do the executive committee, like when it comes to something like this, where we may or may not be giving a recommendation, is this something where we need to actually, what's the process?
Sure.
What's our process for this meeting?
Sure.
Yeah.
Process. If the executive committee wants to make a recommendation, somebody puts a motion, somebody seconds, and you take a vote. If they don't want to make any sort of recommendation, then they can just allow the mayor's office to make a final call on who would be appointed to the committee, and then staff would reach out.
When do we plan on asking these folks? Have asks already gone out, or?
No. Once. We want to ask folks after we get a sense as to whether or not the executive committee feels strongly about wanting to make a recommendation or not to the mayor's office, and then the mayor will make the selection, and then staff will reach out and ask if folks are actually interested.
I have no objections to the makeup right now.
So I'll go ahead and make the motion that we recommend. We recommend the five names on the report for staff recommendation for the Bylaws and Rules Committee, and whoever's taking minutes can rewrite that to make it sound like I knew what I was talking about.
Okay.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Do we have any nays? There's only three of us.
Okay.
Oh. So. All right. That's the recommendation that we can put forth to the mayor's office.
All right. Sounds good. And that's all I have on that one.
Great. Well, we're ahead of schedule. We have 10 minutes left. Are there any other issues that folks want to discuss or add to the agenda officially, or are we ready to call it an adjourn?
We're going to reach out.
Okay. What? Say that again?
I was asking Christian and Ian if they had any items.
No. Okay. We're going to reach out offline to set up a following executive committee meeting, and we'll eventually get to a regular meeting time, ideally.
Probably in 2018.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, then we are adjourned.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Feel better, Katrina.
Feel better.
Katrina. Nice work, team.
Bye.